the assumption that the deity is a temporary manifestation to come and, you know, fulfill our ambitions. But what Advaita was saying is that Lord Gauranga came to infuse the Sankirtan movement, which was actually the work of Advaita, who was infused by that Golokaya Premanda, by Lord Gauranga. And now, his mission has been fulfilled as far as Prema Dharma goes. So Srup Dharmadhara became very grave because he was the only one who understood what it meant, except for Lord Gauranga. And Lord Gauranga, his ecstasy at that time changed. His feelings, his sentiments, his internal bhav, and the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani instantaneously doubled, and from that time increased in more and more in depth, until all his activities, day and night, became just going deeper and deeper into his own purposes. Lord Chaitanya came for purposes of his own, desiring to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him which she alone can relish and know through her love, and the sublime happiness she feels when she tastes the sweetness of his love. The Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed and enriched with her emotions and complexion, descended into the womb of Satyamata. So all this time, Lord Gauranga had been fulfilling the desire of Advaitacharya that this world be inundated with ecstatic love of God, which excels the Yuga Dharma, which gives at most Yuga Dharma ecstatic submission to the Lord of Dwarka or Mathura, and never entrance into Vrindavan. Lord Gauranga came by the call of Advaita and Haridas to bestow the love which only the inhabitants of Vrindavan know towards Krishna, to bestow that treasure of Goloka to this mortal world. And Advaitacharya was, in his cryptic song, was conveying to the Lord, your purpose, our purpose, in the Sankirtan movement has been fulfilled. Everyone's become mad now. Rice is no longer the man. Everyone's mad. Everyone's infused with his ecstasy. And he was telling Lord Gauranga that now you can fulfill your own internal purposes of God. Advaitacharya is the efficient, which means the underlying cause of the appearance of Lord Gauranga. But the internal reasons for the Lord's coming have to do only with his own divinity. So that initiated the later 12 years in the Gambhira, where the main associates of the Lord were Srup Dharmadhara and Ramananda Rai, who would sing songs and recite verses according to the Lord's bhava. And if the separation got too much and they were afraid to leave, they would sing songs and meet him to come bring him back. And if the meeting became too ecstatic, they would sing songs of separation to moderate and try to keep him from just leaving altogether. But when he finally did conclude his lila in this world, then Advaitacharya, who was like 50 years old when Lord Gauranga appeared, and lived for about another 25 years after Lord Chaitanya disappeared, the first months were just immersed in sobbing and weeping. And he called for Chittananda and his own, you know, the best of his own disciples and associates. And there in Shantipur, they spent the rest of their years just immersed in kirtan, in divine rapture, until one day, in the ecstasy of that kirtan, Advaitacharya spontaneously ran into the deity room where Shri Radha Madana Mahan were worshipped by him since he came back from Vrindavan. He entered into the deity room, closed the doors, and never came out again. Like Lord Gauranga, he entered into the deity and concluded his lila on this world. So, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda the demigods were commenting. That is like, they were commenting after the deliverance of Jagannatha. It's like, the demigods are feeling that heaven, the residence of the demigods, has become like lower planets, and the earth has become like a celestial region, and there's two suns and moons that never set on the earth. But aside from the sun and moon, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda, there are these luminaries, beginning with Advaita and Gadadhara and Shrivas, which are not like the luminaries of the mortal creation which someday will fade, but are eternally bestowing light, illumination, guidance, and are ever shining in their instructions and their example. And everything related to the Lord and His associates is sacred, including very much the day of their appearance and disappearance in this world. So the days when the Lord and His associates appear in this mortal world are infused with the blessings that those devotees embody and are special opportunities for us to invoke their blessings through prayer and through commitment to become better servants of Lord Ganya and servants of His servants. Thank you very much. Are there any comments, questions?
You said Advaita Acharya passed away 25 years after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived this way. So did he still live when, because I heard that all the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they couldn't bear the separation from Lord Gauranga and they all left soon after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. So was Advaita Acharya still living when the Radha
Pandit left, Nityananda. Yeah, most of them couldn't bear it. They left. The Great Acharya was exceptional. He stayed about that another 25 years. And that 25 years was totally immersed in kirtan, in deep sorrow of separation. Yeah, he was exceptional. He stayed much longer than the other associates. The rest of the Pamsitata groups and nothing at all left. Not from Yuga Dharma.
How is that? You kind of say the kind of that schedule of Das Avatar as it helps you tell you about the same.
Well, Lord Buddha's relation to Lord Gauranga is very clear that in the beginning of the Kali Yuga, when the pseudo Brahmins were offering what they call Vedic sacrifice, cow sacrifice. Because there is such a thing as cow sacrifice, but you know, the cow is restored. But without the proper Brahmins to properly chant the mantras, the cow is not rejuvenated, the cow is killed. So what it was, you know, cow slaughter in the name of religion, in the beginning of the Kali Yuga. With that, there's no hope for anything. So Buddha appeared to put an end to such violence. Basically, his philosophy, Buddha is sometimes an avatar of Vishnu and sometimes an empowered jiva, but his mission is always pretty much the same. You see a little bit of difference in the verses in the Bhagavatam. Some say that when the earthlings became like Martians and we were going to other planets to exploit them, and Buddha came to stop that. But that's a Buddha from another age. the Buddha in this age, just said, if Veda supports cruelty to animals, then I have to reject the Vedas. Which he did. But his own demeanor, his own everything was so enchanting and charming and pleasing that people surrendered, and under the patronage of Ashoka, that just religion spread far and wide across the Himalayas and Tibet and China and all over eventually. But it was just to put a stop to the perfect antithesis of religion, which is cruelty. But then it left the world bereft of the authority of Vedas, which is, these are nowhere. So Shankaracharya had to come and establish, and with tremendous effort, even evoking assistance from the Naga sannyasis, just purged India of the effects of Buddhism to establish once again Veda, but in an impersonal way, because to go from total Buddhism to theism is too big a step. First, you have to reestablish the authority of Veda, which Shankaracharya did. And then, to eradicate the world from the effects of Shankaracharya was another Herculean or superhuman task. So the four great luminaries appearing, in the eastern horizon to, proclaim the rising and coming of the rising moon. The four founder acharyas established Vaishnava principles, but not in perfect unity. But the sampradayas, they all had some differences with one another and with those of Lord Gauranga. So Lord Gauranga finally took the essential teachings of all the sampradayas and unified them, harmonized them, synthesized them in a higher presentation of his own teachings. So Buddha's role in the appearance of Lord Chaitanya and the Yudhakthidharma is just to stop the sacrifice of the animal sacrifice, which is forbidden in this age because of lack of proper Brahmins who can properly chant the mantras. He's not the Yuga avatar, he's related to the Yuga avatar. The Yuga avatar for the age of Kali is something that has always amazed me as something that you cannot find any reference to, any direct reference to. There's no direct reference that I've ever heard any devotee being able to cite regarding the Yuga avatar in the age of Kali. There's indirect references. But mostly, it's like in most information you can glean, at least in my own case, is from Prabodhananda Saraswati, who makes back page information out of all the avatars because of the front page news that Lord Gauranga has come in his original feature as Krishna. So everything else becomes back page news, if that. And things like the Yuga avatar for the other 999 Kali Yugas in the day of Brahma, it's not even on the back page news. It's gone. It just fell out of print because it's so. But there's a Yuga avatar in every age of Kali who establishes the Yuga Dharma as the chanting of the holy name. But information about him, you just do not find. Since the appearance of Lord Chaitanya has become, it's become further than back page news. It's just gone right out of print.
But does it follow that pattern where in every Kali, a Buddha, maybe a Jiva or a Vishnu?
Yeah. Yeah, Buddha is an avatar, one avatar for the age of Kali. Okay. And he's related to the Yuga avatar, but he's not the Yuga avatar. And in every day of Brahma, everything in Satyuga and Tretayuga is the same. Dvapara-yuga is a whole shift, and Kali-yuga is more of a shift. But in the one, Anything else? That is a very bewildering pastime. It's quite long and it's quite bewildering. We can discuss that some other time.
Is it the same Padma Mohan being Gopal
or Shiva Sanatana Gopal? No. That Madan Mohan told Advaita to establish another Madan Mohan to make sure this one has Radha with him. She would worship or something. It's an expansion of the original, which Advaitacharya found, and Sanatana Goswami later attained. The Madana Mohan of Advaita and Shantipur is an expansion of that Madana Mohan. And Madana Mohan and Madhavendrapuri also both told him, make sure that your Madana Mohan has Radha because he will not be happy without her. So Advaita's duties were Radha with Madana Mohan. Expansions of the Madana Mohan and Braj. I don't know. Anybody know? I've never been to Shanti. I didn't stop at Shanti words.
The translation of the
Yeah, but peace and reflection necessitates that demoniac elements be subdued, because they're the ones who destroy that peace. It's like, you know, before the appearance of Krishna, Kamsa had his rakshasas, patrolling the land, seeking out sacrificial fires to attack the Brahmins. Same thing Ravana was doing, just patrolling the universe, looking for smoke from sacrificial fires to attack them. The sages performing sacrifice. So there can't be peace unless the demigods are, and the devotees are flourishing.
So is that why you sometimes say that the devotee who's situated in a suicide path, that can be acted as if they're in the world of passion.
Yeah.
Devotional service.
Yeah. Yeah, but the difference with the devotee interacting with the modes is when the function is completed, he withdraws from those elements. They're just not, each one emphasized more the element of oneness with God or difference from God. Each one emphasized different aspects of Dvaita, Advaita. And they're all right. Even Shankaracharya's teachings are true, but it's not complete. They're just not as complete as what we're looking for. They're all true and valid. But they're just not as complete. So they're like the cornerstones to establish the foundation for the structure that Lord Kalamba established. But he actually, if you look in Navadvipa Mahatma, he actually instructed them and infused them all with their own wisdom. prior to his own birth. He's Darshan. So, the four Foundacharyas are, you know, really just presenting the teachings of Lord Chaitanya which they had received according to their capacity. And then he took their teachings and built upon them, even though he's the one who first departed in the first place. So they're all true, just not as complete. Well, it is confusing because there appears to be conflicting information in this regard. Prahlad addresses the Lord as Triyuga, meaning he appears. Of course, the conversation was also held between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Gauranga, in which Lord Gauranga established that the Lord does come in every yuga. But then there was discussion, is that Leela Avatar, Yuga Avatar? So it's always been ambiguous. And the reason it's ambiguous, once again, becomes clear in Navadvipa Mahatmya. Lord Gauranga's purpose, his mission, his gift is so intimate, is so esoteric, and so liable to be exploited and misunderstood that it's kept very confidential. And especially in regards to the age of Kali itself, if it was clear what the nature of the Yuga Avatar is, and because this is the age of hypocrisy, there'd be so many Lord Chaitanyas popping up in India and spreading from there all over the world. That's another reason. So there's quite a number of reasons. What Lord Gauranga offers, the love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, it is so sweet, it is so deep, it is so esoteric, it is so sacred. So much to be protected from, you know, misuse, misinterpretation. It is just kept basically concealed. It was Lord Nityananda who drew the curtain of Yogamaya to let it become revealed to the world. But that was only when everything was in place and everything in order and the time was right. So because of, you know, these numerous reasons, it's just been covered and concealed, kept that way until Lord Nityananda saw, okay, it's time that he tells Yogamaya, pull the curtains, reveal it to the world.
What about the other ages? You said there are probably Kavataras and other Kalyugas also.
What's that?
Did you say that there will be, or there are, there might be Yugavataras and other Kalyugas?
There are.
That's not mentioned in the scripture.
It's not that. I have looked and I've asked everybody I know, and nobody has any actual reference, direct reference, to the nature of the Yuga Avatar and the other 999 ages of Kali within the day of Brahma. But you can infer clearly that there is a Yuga Avatar in every age of Kali who bestows the Yuga Dharma and the chanting of the holy name. But Yuga Dharma in general cannot bestow Braj Bhakti. No avatar can bestow Braj Bhakti. No Yuga Dharma can bestow Braj Bhakti. Only Krishna himself, and even he doesn't do it. except in most rare instances, like the sages in Dandakaranya, who eventually attained Braj Bhakti. But very rare and exalted souls only can receive such a gift, even from Krishna, or in this case, Ram, who is not exactly an Aishwarya avatar. Lord Ram is between Aishwarya and Madhurya. He and Lord Dushyanta have a category of their own. So, an avatar and the Yuga Dharma cannot bestow Braj Bhakti. It's beyond what they have to impart. Only Krishna, and very rarely does anyone receive love of Krishna from Krishna. It really comes usually from Lord Ram. And that's only one out of 1,000 Kali Yugas. And that's why, you know, I was saying that the Yuga Dharma in this age was actually established by Advaitacharya. But he wanted something more. And by Lord Gauranga's arrangement, I mean, it happens every Kali Yuga when Lord Gauranga comes, there's a dramatic interruption with the flow of events in the Kali Yuga. And you find a degradation. Like even now in the world, you see it. If you read the Bhagavatam descriptions toward the end of the age of Kali, it's current events on the one hand. Whereas on the other hand, you've got Chaitanya Leela unfolding throughout the world. But as far as degradation goes, what you see in the world today is not what's described for the beginning of the age of Kali. It's what's described for more towards the end, which indicates that the golden age is, you know, to come, and the degradation before the golden age, as the degradation before the appearance of Lord Gauranga, is accelerated, because Kali knows he's going to lose a whole span of time. So he increases his attack before he knows he's going to lose his footing altogether within the universe. But it's, you know, by indirect references and innuendos, you can establish that there is a yuga avatar for every age of Kali. You cannot find, I have not found any scripture or any devotee who knows of any direct reference which explains exactly, you know, his nature. But you can infer clearly, substantially, that there is a Yuga avatar in every age of Kali who gives the Yuga Dharma and the chanting of the holy name. Which is another reason why we take the Maha Mantra as being very special. It is not just the holy name. It is the vocative call for the holy names of Radha and Krishna. That is a mantra which is not, you know, indiscriminately freely given. Even though in any age it is competent to award, you know, Braj Bhakti, or at least liberation, it's not effective in other ages because of the absence of Lord Chaitanya and his divine representatives. So the Maha Mantra is, you know, we say chanting of the holy name is the Yuga Dharma, which it is, but the Maha Mantra is something special. In terms of Yuga Dharma and mantra and names of God and everything, it is unique. Now, there was a Maha Mantra in the Nimbark Sampradaya before the appearance of Lord Gauranga. You know the Maha Mantra of the Nimbark Sampradaya? Devotees asked Prabhupada if it's authorized. He said, yes, it is for them. Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Shyam Shyam, Radhe. Devotee says properly, that's an authorized Maha Mantra for the Nimbarka Sampradaya, but not for us. Now they like that mantra because it's very clear who they're addressing. Our Maha Mantra is more, I don't want to call it, hesitate to call it ambiguous, but it's more like universal. That, you know, whoever your Ishtadeva is, he's addressed in that mantra. within the Mark Sampradaya, they're very emphatic about Radhe Shyam. But that can't be used as a universal chant of deliverance because it's too exclusive for worldwide propagation. Whereas our Maha Mantra could be, you know, whatever your Ishtadev may be, he's addressed in that mantra because it's more generic, more universal. In the Maha Mantra, it bestows Brajabhakti because it's addressing Radhe Krishna. So that's... Of course, the Maha Mantra prevails in all yugas. But it's generally, with the exception of some very rare exalted exceptions, it's generally not effective. Because the oppression of the age of the Kali on the one hand, and the blessings of Lord Gauranga on the other hand, without those advantages or assets, who would believe that all your hope has to be placed in the two syllables of the holy name, or four syllables? It's a wonderful topic to contemplate in regards to our exceptional good fortune coming across Srila Prabhupada and his representatives. It's a, on one hand, a fortune that is totally beyond our ability to conceive, and on the other hand, to miss it or to waste it, a misfortune beyond our ability to calculate. So we should take it very seriously. And as Vrindavan Das Thakur says, that for devotees who have great awe and reverence in their devotion and commitment to Guru, Shuddha Saraswati appears on their tongue like waves of nectar to glorify Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Anything else? Yes. For a period, it appears that even externally, Kali Yuga will subside. So it's a 10,000-year period altogether, with, you know, a number of thousands of years of, you know, rising, a number of thousands falling. But the indications appear that there will be a time that even externally, the effects of Kali are pretty much diminished. But even as far as the Golden Age, Prabhupada only gave one reference that I know of. He didn't even give the reference. He said, it is said that there will be a golden age. There is a scripture, you know, that it is there somewhere. There's the reference where it is. But even that is, I hesitate to say ambiguous, but like, you know, arbitrary. But it appears that, you know, even outwardly, there will be a, you know, cessation of the effects of Kali for a short time. But that's only in one of a thousand Kali Yugas that Golden Age dawns. Which is, you know. One more. The sugar's question is very dramatic.
Different categories people engage on. So like excluding one. So it seems that they really must want to hear the words of those people instead of people who are simple enough, because although they're simple enough, they still have some potential.
Well, sinful and blasphemous are a little bit different categories. He affirmed that again, actually, at his Waitress House in Shantipur after he beat him up. He says, anyone in your house, or related to you, be an ant or an insect or a bird or a beast or a fish or whatever, anyone who's takes shelter of you is most dear to me. So he keeps repeating this thing, but you got two categories, sinful and fallen on the one hand, which are perfectly eligible, blasphemers and proud are not eligible until they rectify that mentality. And that's where the devotees become prominent. Because they're more merciful. But they can't do anything except appeal to a person's deeper intuition to rectify the mentality. Because pride and offense is just shieldless, and there's nothing you can do until the person is willing to relinquish that. And therefore the devotees, they appeal to a person's higher reason to forfeit those propensities, but it's been within the person's free will when and if they're going to do it.
Reminded of the Kriyasya Panishads, those engaged in the culture of nations, simple activities, under the darkest regions of ignorance, worse yet, are those engaged in the so called culture of knowledge, within the same.
Yeah, they're cultivated. Until they stop cultivating that attitude, there's nothing the Lord can do.
But that means, even when you were just saying that blasphemy, other devotees, things that are hurtful, or other devotees and peace are proud.
Yeah. Like a mad elephant, which totally destroys everything you've been trying to cultivate. So what is the fence? It guards the garden from the attacks of these ferocious elements. What is the fence? That's part of it. But structurally, what is the fence made of in physical, tangible form? Vaishnavas, which are infused with humility. Doesn't mean just socially hanging out with the Lord. It means practicing together and coming together to congregationally purify our relationships by the holy name. That is our protection against the man. And you can really appreciate Srila Prabhupada's mission a lot, especially I would say here in New Vrindavan, as establishing holy places. Holy places which are very conducive to devotees coming together to cultivate bhakti on the one hand. And another negative way to look at it is in holy places, in holy association, it would just be too dissonant to bring up topics derogatory towards devotees. And if there is something in a devotee's behavior, demeanor, attitude that needs to be corrected, the critical thinking that goes with an institution, meaning that how to correct something that's not right, rather than attacking or assaulting a deficiency in a devotee, it should be a cause of concern and service. How can I help? How can I assist as a service of my own. But first of all, examining my own motives. If there's a fault in the devotee, I'm going to say something. First of all, have to examine your own motives. Are your own motives to help and to serve and to assist that devotee in his purification, her purification? If not, it should be delegated to somebody who has better intent. And if you are in that position where you need to address a criticism, a fault, then approach it as a service of your own. How can I help? Not, oh, here's an opportunity. I can push someone down to raise myself higher. That kind of attitude would not fit in the kind of assembly that Prabhupada established, the kind of environment that Prabhupada sacrificed his life to create. It would just be so dissonant. No one in their right mind. And that's why the association duties is so. That's one reason of a multitude why it's so important. In holy association, it would be just embarrassing to bring up something too negative. And there's something that has to be addressed. It should be addressed in a service attitude, with a desire to help and uplift. The political thing is, oh, if I can push somebody else down, then I'll look like I'm higher, but push somebody down, you go down with them, or you go down instead. But as we were saying yesterday, regarding Advaitacharya, even all the avatars, they worship Krishna. They all want the upliftment of the whole. That's the Vaishnava attitude, how to uplift the whole by worshiping Krishna. And when devotees come together and congregate, or worshiping Krishna and Haridam Sankirtan, the thought of discrediting devotees would just be too dissonant to even consider, hopefully. Thank you very much. Sri Advaita Charya Ki Jai, Sri Advaita Ki Jai. Oh, again, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
He just wanted to know how you're doing, how you're feeling, and want to know how he could reach you and talk to you.
What'd you tell him? Maybe how can you reach me?
I told him that I guess you would have to call him. I guess he was away in California.
Yeah.